Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, Text 47, Translation, Commentary by His Language, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of Krishna, of the Krishna Conscious Movement ISKCON. This is spoken by Maharaj Katvanga, a great devotee of the law. Therefore, I shall now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things, but one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. When passing through a mountainous region in an airplane, one may sometimes see a city in the sky with towers and palaces, or one may see similar things in a big forest. This is called Gandharvapura, a phantasmagoria. This entire world resembles such a phantasmagoria, and every materially situated person has attachment for it. But Katavanga Maharaj, because of his advanced Krishna consciousness, was not interested in such things. Even though a devotee may engage in apparently materialistic activities, he knows his position very well. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya mucchate. If one engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord, one is situated in yukta vairagya, proper renunciation. In this material world, nothing should be accepted for one's sense gratification. Everything should be accepted for the service of the Lord. This is the mentality of the spiritual world. Maharaj Katavanga advises that one give up material attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus one achieves success in life. This is pure bhakti yoga, which involves vairagya vidya, renunciation and knowledge. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshatam eka. Purushah Paranaha Shri Krishna Ketanya Sharira Dhari Ibam Buddhya Yastamaham Prabhadye. Let me surrender unto the Personality of Godhead, who has appeared now as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is an ocean of all mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning, and devotional service to Himself. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this movement of Vairagya Vidya, by which one detaches himself from material existence and engages in loving devotional service. The Krishna conscious movement of devotional service is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. This verse is spoken by Maharaj Katvanga. He was a great king on the earth, but he was called to fight on behalf of the demigods, which he did. Maybe you have to come over here so I can see you all. Then, after fighting for them for a long time, they asked him to take some benediction from them. So he said, well, I'd like to know how long I'm going to live. And they said, well, for a moment, not much longer. So then he immediately came down to the earth planet, to this planet, which is better for spiritual realization, and fixed his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieved the perfection of life. Realizing that everything that he'd done throughout his life up till then was, as is mentioned here, just like a fantasy, a phantasmagoria. So he was lucky. He had the means, he got Krishna's mercy at the end of his life. He realized that everything he'd done up to then, being devoid of Krishna consciousness, was meaningless. Actually, not absolutely devoid of Krishna consciousness, he had some concept of Krishna consciousness. He must have been practicing at some point of time Krishna consciousness, especially having come in the dynasty of Angshuman. This chapter describes the dynasty of Angshuman. His whole dynasty is full of great saintly kings, so they must have been cultivating Krishna consciousness. But they were doing other things also. Being kings, they were diverted in various ways. They had other things to do, social affairs, political affairs, military affairs, family affairs. which all divert our attention away from the real necessity of human life, which is to understand Krishna. So, in the Varnashram system, or the system of social organization that was prevalent in India, actually up until quite recently, although it wasn't going on in very good form, because the proper system is meant for everyone to perform their activities, but with Krishna consciousness, or at least religious life at some level, at the center of life. So anyway, Maharaj Kadvanga, he was brought up in a very pious religious family. But nevertheless, he got so much distracted by fighting, because when you're fighting, unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, it's not so easy to remember Krishna, because it's a very intense absorption. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita told Arjuna, "Mamana smaryudhyacha," think of me as your first duty and fight also, which isn't easy, just like you may have experience if you're doing some work, some job, especially if it's not connected with Krishna. What are you doing? Software development? So that requires a lot of concentration to do that. And especially you're not working directly for Krishna. And Krishna's not directly standing in front of you, or behind you actually, as he was with Arjuna. But Arjuna was quite conscious of his chariot driver, who was Krishna. The fighter on the chariot, he's well aware of his chariot driver, because it's an intimate connection in a battle. There's all the how to turn the chariot in such a way, drive it forward in such a way that it's conducive for the fighting, conducive for the defense of the chariot fighter. So there's an intimate connection. So you could say, well, it wasn't so difficult for Arjuna to think of Krishna, because Krishna was right there with him. So that's true, but nevertheless, Krishna has instructed Arjuna, and through Arjuna to the whole world, that we should think of him, Krishna, and fight. So that may not be very easy if we're absorbed in so many different activities. If one is well practiced to do so, he can also do so, and there may be various ways in which one may be helped to do so by, for instance, on your computer, you could keep a wallpaper of Krishna, and on your desk you could keep some pictures of Krishna, and you can have some music on your computer, Maha Mantra. And in these ways, this can help one to remember Krishna. And of course, I'm just giving an example with this particular job, and there are so many different kinds of jobs, and it requires a little ingenuity and improvisation to incorporate Krishna into our lives. And alongside of this, one should, as much as possible, try to cultivate very good sadhana, or spiritual practices. For instance, during one's lunch break, if they give you a lunch break. Do they give you a lunch break? Mm-hmm. Yes, I know, because in India they flog the people who are doing, especially when they're on projects. It's like there's no lunch break, you just chew on something while you go on with your work. So during your lunch break you could have a japa break also, chant Hare Krishna, or read something from Bhagavad Gita as it is. But nevertheless, it is to be admitted that the pressure of work, and the very nature of work, and the fact that we may be working with people who are not Krishna conscious, and the whole thrust of life in the material world is such that it tends towards us forgetting Krishna, or not very prominently remembering Krishna. So the Varnashram system is set up that after performing one's work, which is necessary, particularly for people in family life, it's not necessary for brahmacharis and vanaprasthas and sannyasis to engage in activities which are meant for family maintenance, because they don't have family. So detached from that. But most people in this world will get married, and then there's the whole business of providing some means of livelihood. And that takes a lot of one's attention. So it's recommended that at the end of life, one, retire from all these things and simply concentrate fully on Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj Katvanga, after fighting so long for the demigods, and maybe he's realizing, well, I must be getting quite old now, my time is coming up. So he asked how much more time he had to live, and on the basis of that, he would decide what to do next. So he was told, you will only live for one muhurta, which Prabhupada has translated as a moment, which is a short period of time. Actually, muhurta, it can mean just a moment, and it can also mean about 48 minutes. But anyway, it's not very long if we call it out and say, well, you're going to die in 48 minutes. So there isn't much time to think about it. Parikshit Maharaj, who's hearing this narration from Shukadeva Goswami, he was given 7 days warning that in 7 days' time you're going to die. So that some time for preparation. And he was fortunate enough to get the association of Shukadeva Goswami, and determined enough that in 7 days and seven nights he didn't eat anything, he didn't drink even one drop of water, he didn't sleep for one moment, but he simply heard the nectarian pastimes of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this way he attained the topmost goal of life. However, Maharaj Katvanga, he didn't even have that much time. He didn't even have 7 days and nights. He had, maximum here, 48 minutes to prepare for death. That might mean, you can just imagine someone comes up and says, well, we're going to finish you off in 48 minutes, maybe finish, so do whatever you like in the meantime, but you're not going to live any more time than that. So we'd probably get all wobbly-kneed and saying, wow, what to do and this and that. But because Maharaj Katvanga, he had the spirit of pure devotion, he knew what to do. He went to a suitable place and engaged his mind fully on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his mind, that shows that his mind was actually very steadily fixed on Krishna, despite fighting. His intent or his purpose of life was to become Krishna conscious, even though he was engaged in so many ghastly activities of fighting, that's sometimes described in Srimad Bhagavatam, how the fights are going on. It's described that they're like rivers of blood with elephants, maybe, or dismembered elephants floating in them, and heads and legs and arms and torsos floating in this river. So it sounds rather ghastly, and Prabhupada comments that this scene, he was describing one particular scene of such a battle, and this scene seems rather ghastly, especially to squeamish persons. But I can't remember exactly the word that Prabhupada used, cowardly maybe persons. But heroes, they will take great pleasure in hearing it. So heroically minded persons, they actually like to fight, and they take pleasure in that. Of course, they're supposed to fight, that's right, dharmic. They're supposed to fight only according to the principles of religion, and only for the sake of upholding religion, not that they just go and declare war on someone here, there, anywhere, according to their whims. But the point I'm making here is that Katvanga Maharaj, even though his attention wasn't directly fixed on Krishna, he was going here and there fighting on behalf of the demigods, you can imagine how powerful he must have been, because the demigods themselves are very powerful. So the fact that they called him to fight for them, even though he's a human being, and human beings are generally considered, for the demigods' purposes, more excuses, because one thing is, especially in the modern age, or even in the Dwarka Yuga, their lifespan is so short compared to that of demigods that it would hardly seem calling them for a fight anyway, hardly seem worthwhile, because anyway, they don't live long enough. The demigods, their one day is equal to 6 months on this planet. So they wouldn't have much time to put in, because once you go to a higher planet, then the time scale, your body may have certain length of time ascribed to it at birth. But the demigods, they live in a different time scale. So again, someone coming from this planet, they would find that they would, if they were still to live according to their old chart, I guess you could say, is made up, or according to that which was prescribed for them at the time of birth, and they won't have much time to fight anyway. And what's a demigod compared to even a Gandharva, which are the lowest demigods, and Prabhupada sometimes refers to them as sub-demigods. Demigod itself, demi means, is the idea of half, which is an exaggeration, because they're not half God. They're not even anywhere. Quarter, 1/8, 1/16. They're very, very, even the demigods are very, very small in connection with Krishna. But anyway, if we say sub-demigod, that's it's like partial, partial. Human beings are generally not considered very physically strong or fit for fighting very much for demigods, although there are exceptions, such as the Pandavas or the monkeys who fought for Lord Ram. They were very, very powerful, or exceptionally powerful, because they were incarnations of demigods, which was unknown to the opposing forces in the case of Ravana. The monkeys who fought for Lord Ram, Ravana thought, oh, what is this, fighting with monkeys? It's so degrading for him, or embarrassing for him, that he's such a great fighter. He got benedictions from Lord Brahma that I will not be destroyed by any demigods or rakshasas or asuras, but he didn't put humans on the list, because human, why should we even bother with a human? We eat humans, physically, literally. You know, fighting with a human, what's a human going to do to me? And what to speak of monkeys? What will a little monkey, what will a monkey do to me? But actually these monkeys were all demigods who had taken that form. So they were extremely powerful in fighting. So anyway, the point is that in fighting that takes so much concentration, and one has to be angry. Without being angry, no one can fight. So some anger will be there. Then how to think of Krishna? It seems very difficult. It is possible, we see in the case of Arjuna, we see in the case of Krishna, telling Arjuna that you always think of me according to the power of our system. And you also fight. But that may seem to be difficult for us, because we are moving in this world. And this world is such that, well, if you don't concentrate, you'll get your pockets emptied out. I mean, the pickpocket. If you're not aware of what we're doing, then, for instance, if we just park on the side of the road without thinking, then we may be harassed for half an hour by the police. If we're not concentrating on what we're doing, if we're not thinking, then all kinds of things. If we're working in a factory with some machine and we're not conscious of what we're doing, then maybe your cloth will be sucked into the machine, and then the body will be also. So many things can go wrong. Or if we're not properly tending the machine, then the products that we're supposed to be making, it'll all come out all wrong. So in so many ways, if we're walking on the road and we're not concentrating, then we could be run over by a car, or if we're doing software development, and if we're not concentrating, then we can't even begin to do anything at all. So concentration, everything requires some concentration. And what to speak of such activities, even activities, if we're serving Krishna, if we're not concentrating, we can't do it. If we're not tuned in, if we're not focused in, we can't distribute Prabhupada's books when we were trying to give them to people, and they just, you know, walk past, and you wonder what happened to them. Excuse me, and they're already half a mile down the road. So it requires great concentration. That's just an example. To distribute Prabhupada's books, or if we're cooking, we may be cooking for Krishna, but if we're not concentrated, then we'll put too much salt in, or we'll put salt instead of sugar in the sweet preparation, and absolutely spoil it, or burn the preparations. If we're not concentrating, things don't work. But just like that, if we're distributing books for Krishna, or if we're cooking for Krishna, we think, well, how am I going to think of Krishna? Because I have to think here, I'm cooking, I have to think about vegetables and butter and salt, and how do I think of Krishna? And definitely if we're living in this in materialistic society and interacting with that, then you might think, well, how can I think of Krishna? But Krishna states, think of me and fight. So not that everyone has to think of Krishna and fight, but through Arjuna, Krishna is speaking to the whole world. So Arjuna, his particular service was to fight for Krishna. Krishna gave him that job. That I want this fight. It may seem very bad to you, but I am the Supreme Lord, so, and I'm saying that anyway, these people are already destroyed by their sinful activities. The people in the other party, they've been extremely sinful. So anyway, they have to die, and then actually everyone in this material world has to die sooner or later. But generally that is what we call a natural death. Actually, there's no such thing as natural death, because death is not natural for the soul. The soul doesn't die. But that's why we resist death. We think it's something horrible, because it's not natural for us to die. It is natural for us to live forever. Yeah, in the spiritual world, in the ecstasy of serving Krishna and loving him. So that is natural. But people think that it is unnatural that we serve Krishna. So it seems, you know, that we have to concentrate on what we're doing. Then how can we think of Krishna? Yes, Arjuna has to concentrate. He's fighting. He's angry, but concentrated anger. That not simply wild anger, but some concentration is there. But the concentration means that there's an intense thought. Then how to think of Krishna at the same time? So Prabhupada gave an example. Yeah, once he was at an airport in San Francisco, and the lady at the desk asked him, well, what's this Krishna consciousness all about? And Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means to always think of Krishna. And she said, well, how is it possible to always think of Krishna, for instance? How could I always think of Krishna? Because I have to do my job here. So Prabhupada gave an example. He said that, well, it's just like you're doing your job, but you're always conscious of your appearance. Generally, ladies are more than men. So, for instance, if your hair gets ruffled somehow or other, maybe something drop on the floor and you reach down for it, and in the meantime your hair brushes up against something and becomes ruffled. So Prabhupada said that, well, you're always conscious of your appearance, isn't it? But if I don't know exactly what example Prabhupada gave, but if your hair was to become ruffled, then you would take 1 or 2 minutes out from your work to put it back nicely and comb it, and from time to time, if there's a break in the work, you'll see it's very common with the ladies. They bring out they have their handbag, and they bring out their little mirror and have a look and put some powder on the face and comb the hair a little bit, even though it doesn't need combing. And they're very much conscious of their appearance. So Prabhupada said to this, yes, even though you're working, you're conscious of your appearance. And she said, yes, of course. So Prabhupada said it like that, that we have to do whatever we're doing and still be conscious of Krishna. In other words, Krishna is always there in our consciousness. This means at least at the back of the mind, and at any point in time, we can bring Krishna to the forefront of our minds. In other words, that that consciousness of Krishna, which means Krishna consciousness, that consciousness of Krishna, that is to be cultivated as the very focus of our lives. And then we'll always remember Krishna, directly or indirectly. Directly through this very important program of sadhana, which we have every morning and supposedly every evening, but often we're doing other things. In which we, devotees, we are supposed to very attentively are applying our attention here and chant about Krishna. And then we may be at work, or we may be distributing books for Krishna. Whatever we are doing, the direct consciousness of Krishna may not be there as it is when we are here in Bhagavatam class, for instance. Or when we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we're directly in contact with Krishna. However, that will, that coming in contact with Krishna by intensive hearing and chanting throughout the day, that will help us to keep fixed on what we are supposed to be doing here. We're not supposed to be simply concentrating on material things, but we're supposed to see Krishna in everywhere and everything. And Krishna, as Prabhupada quotes this, there's mercy in the Banda Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vai Madhava Chate. Yes. Prabhupada states, he translates this, this could be translated in a different way. If one engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord, one is situated in Yukta Vairagya, proper renunciation. So actually, we have to renounce this world. Renounce it means, actually it's not ours to renounce in the first place. Prabhupada gave that example that if a man walks into a bank and declares to everyone, everyone please listen, I'd like to make an announcement that I'm now renouncing all the money in the bank. So I no longer put any claim on it. People think you're crazy because you don't own all the money in the bank anyway. And we don't have any claim on it so that we can just walk into the bank and say, well, please give me 100,000 euros. Okay, well, write out a check. Well, I don't have a checkbook. I don't have any. Well, do you have an account? No. So why show you the 100,000 euros? Because I want it. That's not a good enough reason. They won't give it to you. You have to show, especially if you're making a large withdrawal, you have to show your ID and all this kind of thing. So the money doesn't belong to us. If you go to the bank, they say, well, no. I'm now announcing everything, and it's simply foolishness because the money in the bank is not ours to renounce anyway. So what is to be renounced in all our activities is the sense that I am doing, I am the doer. That everything is going on in my life because of my activities. So that may be true to a limited extent, but we should understand that actually everything is going on by the blessing of Krishna. If Krishna wants, he can give us. If Krishna wants, he can take away, even if we work so hard. We see that people who work hard, it's not that all of them get on in life, so to use the phrase, but many of them, they remain stuck without any particular good job or anything. It was a good job, I mean, sincerely, they're all bad jobs because and people say, I've got a good job, but then basically I'm getting a lot of money. Otherwise, what is it? Most people don't actually enjoy their work. Simply they go to work and they have to do it, and there's the boss, and when you see him, you have to smile and pretend you're happy. But actually, no one likes doing what they're doing. So one may have a job which is somewhat interesting, or but mostly it's done. Nothing very enlivening, especially not even materially, not to speak of for the soul. Anyway, this idea, I shall give up. So you may think, well, I've given up my job, I've given up my house, I've given up my family, I don't have anything else left to give up. But actually, the very consciousness that I am giving up, That in itself is a misconception, because we don't have anything to give up in the first place. In that example of going in the bank. The example of going in the bank is that, well, I'm renouncing everything, but it's not ours to enjoy. If we try to enjoy this material world separately from Krishna, then we have to suffer our karmic reactions for rebelling against the Supreme Lord. So, best to understand, just like Krishna says, we should give up all material activities to serve Him. But those who have material activities also, those who are doing some job or whatever, then it becomes difficult to remember Krishna, especially in modern life where we have to go to work and get up in the morning early and go to work, and there may not be sufficient time for sadhana, there may not be, after working all day, then there may not be much inclination even for doing sadhana, because one is so drained at the end of the day from associating with karma so much, or associating with that whole materialistic atmosphere. So Prabhupada saw this and saw that the world is in a very precarious condition. Pretty much everyone is absorbed in simply getting money and so-called getting ahead in life. Getting a 24-inch TV. What's the biggest now TV? Any idea? Is it 24-inch? What the people have in their homes, they have...
Yeah, big flat screen.
A huge thing, yeah. So, I'm out of date. Well out of date, probably. Anyway, the idea is that people, they're working to get various things, and no one's happy in material life. No, it's, people are absorbed in it, but no one's happy in doing all these things. So a devotee, he may be engaged in various activities for maintaining his body, but his activities should be yukta vairagya. In other words, he should work in some job just to maintain the body, so that the body can be engaged in the service of Krishna. So, of course, even through one's work, one can try to serve Krishna in some way. Maybe tell others at work about Krishna, give them a book about Krishna somewhere or other. But the activities themselves, they may be not directly aimed at serving Krishna. But anyway, this is the trick that we have to somehow, this is not the trick, but the art that we have to cultivate of remembering Krishna. This, we're talking about devotees who are working in some job, congregational devotees, this big name. So, they have to cultivate the art of remembering Krishna in difficult circumstances. And Arjuna was given the task of remembering Krishna in difficult circumstances. Of course, Krishna is there with him directly, but it would be easy to forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a circumstance that Arjuna is fighting it. Because the battle is so intense, and he might revert to thinking of Krishna as, oh, there's my friend Arjuna, he's sitting on the chariot, without realizing Krishna's full glory. So, this example is given, Krishna speaking to Arjuna, the message of Bhagavad Gita, always think of me, nanmana bhagma bhakta, become my devotee. This is the ultimate message of Bhagavad Gita. But, we could say that it's difficult. It could be difficult for Arjuna, because that battle is such a situation where you have to more intensely concentrate than in any other situation. Because if we don't fight in a battle, we're inattentive, then an arrow will hit our heart or lop off our head before we have time to think about it. If we're not looking here and there, what's going on? And the chariot driver, in this case Krishna, will be like, hey, watch out! What's going on? So it's a very intense situation, but quite likely Krishna was teaching Bhagavad Gita in this unusual situation. We don't usually find that spiritual knowledge is spoken before a battle. But quite likely Krishna is teaching us through this example of Arjuna that if Arjuna can marry, can remember Krishna, even in the midst of such a very difficult situation, then we should be able to do so in other situations. We're not called upon by Krishna to fight. That is a common misconception that the Bhagavad Gita is encouraging war. It's not so, but it's giving the example that even in such a situation, one has to remember Krishna. So we may not be put in such a difficult situation as Arjuna. We don't know, but it's not very likely. We're not likely even to get in such an intense or undesirable situation as he did, or an intense situation in which one is forced to fight with others, and especially with persons who are very dear to him. So it was a great test for Arjuna that how he could accept Krishna's words and go ahead and fight in the battle, becoming, he was reluctant to fight, but he came surcharged with enthusiasm again when he heard that Krishna, he wants me to fight, and he's given me very good reasons to fight, even though I don't want to. So Arjuna was able to remember Krishna in his fighting place, or his battle array. So in the same way, devotees have to cultivate remembering Krishna, even in what are unfavorable circumstances. Of course, we're talking mostly about devotees who are working outside, but even devotees who are living in this modern world, the whole modern world is an unfavorable circumstance. Of course, we know that Kali Yuga is very glorious, and anyone who comes here and chants Hare Krishna, they can become purified and go back to Krishna. But basically, the whole material world is one big inauspicious situation. We have astrology and we find out what is the auspicious time for doing this and what is the auspicious time for doing that. So when we say auspicious, it all means it's all relative. It's all relative because there's nothing genuinely or intrinsically auspicious in this material world. If we start our business on such and such a date, it may go better because we've got the astrologer's advice, but still business means business, and it's hard work, and it's a risk, and there's so many problems. And in the modern age, the astrologers, they don't even recommend business people to offer some donation to a temple like a Christian. They mostly say that, they themselves take money. So, devotees, they're enjoying just that Arjuna, he was fighting for Krishna. Krishna, he directly wanted Arjuna to fight for him. So devotees, it may be a little difficult to relate, but I'm not fighting directly on Krishna's order. I'm working for some boss I don't even know who lives in Sweden or something like that. Mostly nowadays people, more and more, they're working for big corporations, and they don't even know who they're working for. They don't know who their boss is, and they don't even know his name. It's such a big company that someone situated one company, and here we are in this branch office in this country, and we may know the name of our local supervisor, but it's very impersonal. People are cut off away from who are they working for, and he doesn't have any feelings for the people who are working for him, because he has so many people working for him. How many people can you reciprocate with? In any way, he just wants to employ them so he can get some money out of them, and the whole thing, it's all aimed at selling more and more goods, and so he can get some money out of them. So, before they say, you know, creep on and do a jhana, chapala shubhala balangu, this is the condition of material life. Uselessly working to serve some miserly worker. And why am I working? To get some money for eating, sleeping, eating, and defending, and ultimately for sense gratification. If I get any extra money, then that will be used for simply indulging the senses. But anyway, Krishna recommends whatever situation one may find himself in, that is adjustable. It's not that everyone has to get up on a chariot and start a fight. Okay. But Everyone is recommended to remember Krishna. Even if we're not working directly for Krishna, we can Krishna eyes that work by offering the result to Krishna. At least a large, or at least some proportion of our income, we can offer it to Krishna for the spreading of Krishna consciousness. So that will help us to remember Krishna. And like I said, we can, in the middle of our work, we can chant a little or read a little, and we can keep strong sadhana. So that strong sadhana before and after, or at least before early in the morning, before working, we can perform activities which help us to remember Krishna. But also, that is recommended, we should bear in mind that we are not simply meant to live in this world, we're not supposed to stay here forever. People call Hare Krishna devotees, when they understand our philosophy a little bit, they say, oh, you're just escaping from modern life, you're just escapers. And actually, that's the fact. We are trying to escape from not only modern life, but from life that we've been living in this material world for millions of years. That is intelligent, to want to escape from this material world. So if someone accuses us of being escapers, we say, yes, why should we want to stay here any longer? So the devotee, his life is focused on Krishna, whatever circumstance he may find himself in. He finds out the ways and means to remember Krishna by all means possible, as much as possible. The ways and means, when I say find out, is not very difficult to do so. It's not very difficult to remember Krishna, but it takes some practice, especially that sadhana. Of course, this morning I'm a little disturbed because sadhana, because we didn't rise. I don't know all of you, but I didn't rise very early. And that may be sometimes due to some late night preaching program. That may be. But in general, we should live, it's recommended to live a very balanced kind of life. Yukta Ahara Viharasya. Then not eating too much, sleeping too much, or simply trying to find out some comfortable position. But accepting some austerities or difficulties in life, even if you don't take on difficulties, then difficulties will surely come. By their very nature, this material world is full of miseries. So even if we don't go out looking for miseries, then miseries will come to us. But instead of becoming disturbed by them, the devotee retains equilibrium of mind and mental as well, it's sent by Krishna. And in this way, by always remembering Krishna, always thinking of Krishna, or at least making the endeavor to think of Krishna. Krishna, who is within our hearts, he will reciprocate with us. He will help us to remember him, as Maharaj Katranga did. Actually, very, we can say very lucky, because he had time. He was given just approximately 28 minutes or something like that. And he had time to fix his mind on Krishna. But we don't know, because, as sure as that, generally devotees are protected. That my devotees are never vanquished. But that doesn't mean that they can't be injured in some, for instance, in some factory accident or car accident, or cannot even be killed. And there are so many instances of that. The devotees overly confident, thinking that, well, Krishna is there, he'll protect me, so it doesn't matter whether I look to see whether anyone's coming before I cross the road. So, actually, quite a few devotees have done driving fast, too fast, and then falling asleep at the wheel and all these kind of things. So devotees can pass away very quickly without any preparation. They may say to Lord Yama, to Yamaraj, well, why didn't you give me at least 5 minutes? I could chant a round or two if I had passed away. But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee what will happen even trust no future, however bright. You know, we may think, I'll do this and I'll do that. And we may make various plans, but we should know that our life is not in our hands. We can pass away at any time. Therefore, we should be prepared to do what is ever necessary to remember Krishna, both in the immediate term and the long term. Immediately we should remember Krishna by chanting his holy names, preaching Krishna consciousness to others, taking only Krishna prasadam, and so on. And for the long term, we have to be cultivate the consciousness of being ready to remember, not only being remembered to, but actually remembering Krishna by following the process of Krishna Bhakti Sadhana, which is very powerful for helping us to fix our minds on Krishna. Actually, I'd like to speak a little bit more about this tonight, about fixing our minds on Krishna. Then if we've understood that this modern civilization is not at all it's not at all favorable for actually developing spiritual life. So it's better to develop that which can be developed in any age, but is actually in some ways easier to attain in this Kali Yuga than in other ages, because the same knowledge that Krishna is revealing generally over many, many lifetimes, Krishna's come again as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates, and he is making Krishna consciousness widely available to everyone through the simple principle of chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He's making it easily available, and there's no difficult austerities to undergo. One simply has to accept that my life is meant for serving Krishna. And there's no other actual purpose. Of course, we may say, well, I have to do this and I have to do that in the material world. And due to, again, family, social, maybe even political obligations, we have to say and do so many different things. But we should know that although we're caught in this phantasmagoria, Prabhupada says, we're caught in this phantasmagoria, but there's no need, actually, to get involved in all that. There's no direct need. We feel a need. Prabhupada even, in at least one place, writes that the basic necessities for human beings are eating, sleeping, shelter, and sex. But every living being in this world, they think they require that, although it's not 100% necessary, but for most people it seems like about 99%. So one can live in this world, and we have so many things to do, but the main thing is to remember Krishna. So that should be the focal point of our lives. Even while eating, we have to remember Krishna. Even while sleeping, if we can cultivate that out, that's very good. Prabhupada recommended that we read about Krishna at night before taking rest, especially this Krishna book, so we can remember Krishna. So Krishna consciousness, yoga, karma, sukoshana. That yoga, of which the topmost yoga is bhakti, bhakti yoga, is the art. It's just like an art of performing activities. There's this bogus guru in India now who has these seminars called The Art of Living. And he basically teaches that, well, how not to be too tense. And, you know, it's like some modern New Age kind of thing. Nothing spiritual about it whatsoever. Maybe do some breathing exercises to relax and all this. But the real art of living is to live remembering Krishna. So we can see that Maharaj Katranga, he was a great devotee. That even though he was fighting, he was always thinking of Krishna. Maybe not directly, because fighting means that you really have to intensely concentrate. Otherwise, you're finished. But at the back of his mind, he was always there, thinking of Krishna, which is why when he was told he just has one muhurta to live, one very short time to live, he didn't think, okay, now let me enjoy myself as much as possible in the remaining time. And I just bow here, I'll just break into it and tell you everything there. Because what does it matter? I'm going to die in a few minutes. But Maharaj Kadvanga was convinced of the Vedic philosophy that we get body after body after body, I am eternal, but my real purpose of life is to remember, do whatever is necessary to remember Krishna. So one who develops such consciousness, he can in all circumstances of life remain conscious of Krishna. And because he has the habit of whenever there's any spare time, he chants Hare Krishna, he'll read some book about Krishna, because he has this habit of going always to Krishna, connecting with Krishna, then he can live in this world, use everything in this world in Krishna's service, that is Yukta Vairagya, and in this way develop consciousness of Krishna. Of course, the best consciousness of Krishna is when the consciousness is over flooded with thoughts of Krishna. But then again, we see that Prabhupada, he was definitely a topmost pure devotee. He was always intimately thinking of Krishna, but at the same time, he was fully engaged in the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. So there's an example of Srila Prabhupada. He was definitely always absorbed in thinking of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he was expert in acting in this world, legal matters, financial matters, and dealing with his disciple, their personal matters. But at the same time, he never forgot Krishna. So we should cultivate this art of always remembering Krishna. Prabhupada is mentioned here that is possible. That is not possible to do by cultivating that consciousness. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, Krishna Anushilanam, it's a kind of cultivation, just like you cultivate vegetables in the garden. It's a kind of cultivation. So there's a little seed and it grows. So in the same way, this Bhakti Lata, this seed of devotion to Krishna, is like a Bhakti Lata, a creeper of devotion. We get the Bhakti Lata beach, the seed of that creeper. So we cultivate that by hearing and chanting about Krishna, by which we can always remember Krishna, or at least be conscious of Krishna. If not directly, then within our consciousness, thoughts of Krishna will be there. So that when the hour comes, or when the time comes, we don't know when it will come. If we have a little warning is old age, teeth become loose, and we can't hear properly, we can't speak properly, and this is. This is a warning from Krishna that now your body is wearing out, now think of me very intensely. So that we all get some notice, although some of us may not. We may have to just go immediately out of this body. We have to leave immediately. So it's good to always be prepared for the worst. Krishna consciousness is not a pessimistic philosophy or way of life, but devotees are recommended. Be ready to prepare for the body, because at any time we may have to leave these bodies. At any time. So cultivation of Krishna consciousness should be done very strongly and powerfully, so that we get, that means taking time for sadhana, putting concentration and energy into it. So the more we put into it, the more we will get out, so that we can remember Krishna. This will help us throughout our days, throughout our lives, and help us to achieve the perfection of life, which is to remember Krishna at the time of death, and then by His mercy go to Krishna, back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Comment?
Would it be if the situation arises that person is constantly born Krishna, and he's doing it in his work which he's supposed to do.
Well, Krishna says, Mama Nusma Yudhyacha, and fighting, it requires concentration. So he didn't, Krishna would not have approved if Arjuna in the fight had just gone into raptures of ecstasy, of blissful remembrance of Krishna. In the meantime, the whole war is lost. Krishna would not have approved that. So it's also stated by Rupa Goswami that one should not be neglectful in worldly dealings. There are two things actually. One should minimize worldly dealings. One should only deal with the material world as much as possible. That's one of Rupa Goswami's 64 items of devotional service that he gives. But the other one is one should not involve with the material world any more than is necessary, because the purpose of life is to cultivate Krishna consciousness. But another injunction says that one should not be irresponsible in the matter of worldly duties. So if by the excuse or whatever, I'm thinking of Krishna, therefore I'm not able to work properly, then well, you could do that. You could come and join the Krishna conscious movement. But directly, you already are a member, but fully and directly. But even then, in the Krishna conscious movement, they say, well, why do you burn all the chapatis? Well, I was thinking of Krishna. You weren't thinking of Krishna. Because if you were thinking of Krishna, you wouldn't burn the chapatis. You'd think how to cook them nicely for Krishna. So not serving properly in the name of remembering Krishna is not accepted.
I think it's interesting what you said about, some of the objects said, oh yeah, you're just trying to escape, you're not sort of living in the world. Well, a lot of people, they just work just so they can escape at a weekend.
Yeah, right, that's true. What about your job? You're a DJ, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot
So that, what is that, listening to that music? It's just like a kind of escapism, just
that's right, yeah.
Take your mind away from people that are driving or they're cooking at home. And it's just to take the mind away from what they're doing.
The show that tonight people will listen to when they're getting ready to go out and get drunk. So they're trying to escape.
That's a good line. You can tell them that also. That everything you're doing is just to escape from what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. But
we're making the real escape, the great escape. We're not just escaping at the weekend, we're escaping forever. We're not going to come back to this place.
Some people are escaping to Godhead somewhere. As a Shubhanastha.
That's where we belong, actually. Yeah, what did Shubhanastha say?
He says, are you trying to go back to Godhead or are you trying to go to Doghead?
they escape, and eventually they escape into a dog's body, which is no escape. That is being bound up. You have no choice to take the dog body. Often we can turn these things around on people. It's like they accuse us and we just turn the whole thing around on them. Just like I was saying the other day, that one mini-skirted reporter came up to Prabhupada and it was quite cool, something like this maybe. It's like it's described as a late summer day and it was quite cool. So she just had mini skirt and just bare legs like that. So she asked Prabhupada in a challenging way, why do you have a bald head? And Prabhupada said, why do you have bald legs? He just turned it round on her. He said it's better to have a cool head and warm legs. Because she was quite, she was hotly attacking him.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada said, better have a cool head and warm legs. Prabhupada was explaining. Even she laughed, and then the whole thing.